Yeah, was that your buy over the week?
Yeah.
It all pumped up.
Great.
What's the advice? What's the date first?
Well, I had the impression that this thing was drifting. So I got all the players together, and it was. So I've been working on a plan to a finite conclusion. Now, one where you are, where us on our side, Ken Cole is chairing the working group.
Right.
And he's got Justice in Interior.
Is the Marshal going to die?
No, apparently not. He's serious, but he's not critical.
Thank God.
But the thing is steadily getting worse and worse and worse.
Well, the federal. Think to do with the president. I have to do it myself. My wife is fit. I never felt that she got too much, but I think you temporized for this kind of crap too long. Now, and Indians, we thought they're special. Blacks are special.
Yeah.
The bad Indians are just like bad blacks. And I think they ought to move in. I think tanks, the whole goddamn thing, put a division in if necessary.
The Army's scared to death of it, but.
It's too bad.
I told him that I wanted to see.
A plan
spelling out exactly what the military would do, how they would do it, what their estimate of loss of life is, and so on. Then the whole difficulty here, like so many things, is they had no PR concept in this thing. And so the government's story is not getting across. The reason why we would send soldiers in is not apparent to anybody, and a foundation has to be laid. And so I want a step by step as to how we lay the foundation for the use of troops to bring the thing to an alternate conclusion. And so they're in the process of putting this together now.
And then, of course, the foundation, if the guy had died, that would have been the foundation.
Well, it was a terrible damn thing. And the way they did it to him, that has gotten out. There's nothing about his family or what kind of a fellow he is or any of those kinds of things. So, no on that. But he was standing there next to Ken Frizzell, who's our assistant attorney general, that we're moving over to be solicitor to the Department of Interior, high ranking guy. And they're standing way, way off in the distance at an observation point, looking down into this village. And a sniper picked this marshal off just 4 feet away from Frizzell. Just the two of them standing there. He could very easily have picked off our assistant attorney general. And it was just one shot. What did, in fact, the guy dropped before the shot was heard. So it was a vicious stand thing.
When did this happen?
Yesterday afternoon.
Well, I bet it's getting across out there.
The Indians have asked for a meeting. Frizzell was in a meeting with him today. Now, my sense of this, the reason that I called this group together, one of the reasons, besides just fear that we didn't have a plan, was that we need to have, in my view, some constructive domestic White House activity going on. Now, this is a problem, and it isn't constructive in a pure sense. But it would be White House activity if we had a White House person involved in the settlement or the PR of this thing at this point. Pull off some of this poison, show another aspect of this thing in terms of White House. So we've been exploring the pros and cons of that. There are a lot of cons to it in terms of the long run, and it's a question of whether you want to pay the long run price for the short run PR advantage, and that's something I'm not prepared to recommend. But it is a possibility, and it would involve somebody like me or Garmin or somebody going up there to neutral ground, talking to Indians on both sides, in effect delivering an ultimatum at the end,
right.
And then going out and finding every camera you can get your hands on to put across the foundation. It would show White House in operation in a different setting and in a different context, just like the Price thing. The Price thing is constructive in the sense that business is going on and things are happening.
But not quite.
Yes, you bet. I should say so. So, that's what that's all about. And tomorrow I'm going to work on it.
Well, I for action on it.
We're getting
even from the long run.
Right.
Even from the long run. I don't believe you can temporize with this kind of crap. So let the Indians get shot. That's too goddamn bad. You lose a couple of Americans. It's too bad, too.
Of course, that's my concern. We're looking at this coming summer.
Yeah.
If we fiddle around up there for 7 weeks,
right.
We're just inviting the blacks or the Chicanos or somebody to occupy a hotel or a railroad station or an airline terminal or some damn thing with rifles and say, we have these non-negotiable demands.
Yeah,
it's unanswerable.
So we've gone the extra mile. Interesting how Schultz has come around with the controls.
It is, yeah. I don't know what's behind that, but I guess he talked to all the players.
But it's the management labor groups that it had to be.
Yeah.
It's always been my concern. You know, I said it was the wrong thing to do in terms of what was the, perhaps, on the merits. But I said it didn't, on the other hand. This is the way, a price you have to pay to get more reasonable labor demands. It's the right thing.
That's
right, merits.
That's right.
That's what the game's about.
Yeah.
I think that's what Schultz ran into.
I think so. It must be. I haven't had a chance to talk to him. But
even I'm glad to do it. I told him, I don't want him to. I don't need to go into the whys and the wherefores and the rest of it. I know the whys and the wherefores and what I've been through and what not to. You know, he really tends to bring things to me that I don't know goddamn things out. You know what I mean? The thing is, set it up.
Okay.
We're plan out. The plan will be, and it should be, no terminating. They can be either not. It'll be frozen, lifted, rather than the 90-day breach. George already had that in mind. It should be aimed at foods, perhaps not all, but to ones that we think we should do. And as far as I'm concerned, I've got to cover it in just a paragraph, just state it, and then have a statement issued that night, you see, at the same time. My present plan is to make my final Vietnam report
right
Thursday night, 9 o'clock, and I'll just throw this in. Well, this will make it the hard news, as far as folks are concerned. It will be part of the hard news. Part of the news, but the Vietnam report will also be the news. Yeah, part of the duty reassurance. I think there is a tendency for other people to feel here that the world comes with an answer. People think we've been through this so often before. This is because it involves an unguarded personal interest, but for the price that it doesn't work in the international monetary thing, it doesn't work in that's phase three of work in we're having a problem with the Congress and the budget, so we're finished.
Bullshit.
Never finished, you know.
How many times have we finished?
It's short square. November 2nd, we were finished.
Yeah.
We were finished in Laos, remember? We were finished in India, Pakistan.
Yeah.
We were finished just before, remember, a year ago, I just talked to him, a year ago, Easter was on the 31st of March, and this week had time, both had covers, one was missing in trouble,
yeah.
And the other was an inspector of the beat.
Yeah.
And a year later, Vietnam is finished,
yeah.
On our ground.
Yeah.
So what I mean is, I don't mean to be Pollyannish, but John,
no,
just don't get too over hypersensitive and so forth. Get out of the country, it's not quite that. A little bit different.
Tennis called me Friday. He said, God, you guys have had a bad week. I said, Nick, we don't measure things in weeks around here.
Well,
if we measure things on a short swing, you know, we have big ups and big downs. And I said, you just can't measure them that way. I think we know through the year.
Very well put.
And,
of course, it's a bad week. Longer days for rest and what the hell. So this week, after the price of the Vietnam, take the Vietnam thing. I mentioned this to Hall. Nobody else will see it except somebody that I would. Somebody will say, what was the big story Sunday? I said, Hall, one thing I did quite a lot of fun. This was important. The big story was about a sentence announcement by Xavier, which I told him about before his press briefing. All the rest of that, which he said. So as long as there is one POW in hell, and the Chinese and American forces will be there. That got through, and it worked the following day. Now, that you see, is sometimes we tend to realize that we don't have that everything to do, but my point is, action, we can take action.
That's being almost taken for granted right now.
course it is, you know.
I mean, take it for granted that we always win.
Yeah.
Yeah. We did get through, though, I understand, for 3 or 4 days there. Cronkite and the rest were in Laos and saying we're in trouble there, and they're not gonna let the Mayans go unless we get rid of the military and marine guards. And I remember I read the treaty, some of that's her. They were allowed to live, sure. This Thursday night.
Yeah.
And not this specific thing now.
But I will say you could refer to the fact that this week sees the first detail of this conference. You don't need to get into the merits.
Yeah.
The strategy, the Air Force strategy, is to take a whip count, but not to count on the 29 Democrats to show up in a whip count at all.
That's right.
To make this a party issue,
absolutely.
The force of the moment of the Republicans. And to sustain the veto strictly with Republican votes. Any Democrats would get a great, because of course Albert is out with the Democratic arms all over him.
Right.
And they feel that they're going to make it just on Republican.
The greater they did, which would be marvelous. But then you're going to sustain them all.
Well, then they're all going to get them in the red. Get them in the red. Now, Senate is all here. They probably will whack us just bang like that.
But at least they're going to try. They're not going to, it isn't going to be a complete blind.
That's right. But I mean, we'll get a very fast Senate turndown.
Yep.
Tomorrow, maybe. Or yesterday. And then go over to the House and talk to Labor in the House. And not bring it on for a while. So the speech could help them.
I'll get around it. I'll get
it.
And we're doing it. Not a great plan.
I understand.
I think that's what they need to say. Look, I'm doing this because we've got it. And particularly, it comes nice that I didn't know that we would have this little business of George going, of our going along down Price Street.
Yes.
And I would have done it for a long time. I go on and say, now we've done this on this thing. That's what we're doing to fight this battle of your budget. Believe me, this national budget can destroy all that. And why, therefore, I have a veto bill. I ask you to support those congressmen and senators that have the courage to vote to sustain that veto, because remember, they're not voting against the government. They're voting against higher taxes, against higher prices. You know, prices first.
Biggest kind of a splash for that weekend. With big briefings, leadership briefings, big half-day press backgrounder, slides, charts, the whole finance. I think the more of those kinds of things that are on the fronts of people's minds now, domestically,
the week put
the weekend people's
minds.
But the show.
The energy thing must go, and the trade thing must go, and the tax thing must
go. Right.
All three of those messages.
Well, we'll give this one the full court press. DeBona is doing some really first-rate work.
DeBona, you want energy to go first, or should the tax would go?
Doesn't make any difference to me.
The tax would have a lot of good. I just don't want to have the tax thing be a case of George going up there and mumbling around the White House committee. I want to slap that one out myself, say the tax package will have these things in it, including the minimum tax, which will be there,
right?
And Secretary Schultz will testify about that, about the rest. See what I mean?
Well,
in other words, let's get two whacks and two bites at that. The trade thing is also not a bad one for you.
It's a good one.
Talking about jobs.
The Congress goes out the 19th. So we'll try and get all of these going before the Congress gets out if possible.
So he doesn't testify on the tax.
Don't trade at the end of the
30th. That's right. We can get ours out
before then.
The others better make our news before. Make it after the Congress is out.
Now I see you can't send messages.
No. I mean, like on the tax thing, we don't send a message. I simply make the announcement after the Congress is out of town and say, on the taxes, on the just consult and so forth, the tax message is going to go up on that. Make a statement about it, see?
All right.
A brief statement. And we make the news with that. And you see, we get another bite out of it. George goes up and testifies. The trade thing, the same.
do things while the Congress is out. It's a very good time for, you know, that will dominate.
Okay.
So those three areas, you know, if we lost that, world and so forth.
Sorry. We have to feel that way.
Sounds like a lot of it, a tough battle, but
yeah,
from the kids through tough ones, by the way.
That's right, and this one, this Watergate thing, is potentially very debilitating for morale.
Oh.
We have to devote a large part of our time to keeping people busy and,
I know,
affirmative guidance.
Well, they think facilitates morale, because it involves people you know.
Yeah.
It involves.
Right.
Right.
Jury step.
Dean's feeling is that she should not today.
That's my feeling.
And Moore's feeling is that she should not today. My encouragement, my opposite.
My view is today, if she's got something more to say, I would simply say I have nothing to add to what they said the other day. I think that's what you better do, the way we live somehow.
See,
just get out there and act as your usual cocky, confident self.
Then, if I am asked a question about whether or not Dean would appear before the grand jury, if I'm asked that question, it's how should I handle that? That's where I need a little advice. Two options. One would be to say that
she got married?
One of those occasions for a man in his situation to defend himself.
Yeah, clear. Yes. consistent with its responsibilities as council. How do you say that?
Better check that with me. I know he's got certain misgivings on this.
He did this morning?
Yeah.
Why they don't say that?
Well, I think if we pose the dilemma without saying flatly what you're going to do.
Yeah, we, but maybe you just don't want to, they're not breaking into it, John.
You can propose it.
Then you're gonna break that into questions. I just don't know what to do. That's not before us at this time. But let me emphasize, we feel cooperative, as the president has indicated, that we think cooperating consistent with the responsibilities that everybody has on the separation of powers.
Fair enough.
And of course, and consistent with Mr. Dean's responsibilities as his other responsibilities as a council. See, how about just saying it that way? Or John, you have doubts.
No, I don't want to.
See, Ziegler Bowman, Ziegler has to answer something.
The only thing that occurred to me as I read this stuff yesterday was that somehow or another, we should be introducing the fact that Dean's going to get a chance to clear his name. Eventually, there's going to be an opportunity for that in some form, at some time, in some way. But maybe
I don't think this is the day to do it.
I think good morning for the decision.
Stay.
How we approach the matter instead of moving it off on the president's expression.
You can also say that the president is talking to the staff today.
Right.
The situation. I think we should say
all right. There was a meeting here this morning involving Deputy Attorney General, Under Secretary of Interior, Travers, on the High Ridge Reservation,
And that the matter of the President is the White House is following it.
And we are great.
The President, at the President's direction, a meeting was held here, and the White House is now examining the situation to see what action can be taken to resolve.
And you might be able to hang it on the deplorable.
Thinking of doing that. I would hope next week, right after June.
What would you think about doing that simultaneous with the appointment of the commission if we go?
Oh, yes.
It could be wrapped up in the same announcement. Say, here's a fine man who's been unfortunately splattered by this thing as a case study and how bystanders can get splashed with this sort of thing. It's now to a point where he can't.
You think also, John, or at least you thought of some out of the idea that we should get Clancy stuff too at this point.
Yeah.
How do we do that?
Well, I'm going to see him today, and Bob's going to talk to him, and we'll get him two directions on this.
And get Clancy to resign.
Oh, no. No. Get him out front. Get him over. We'll usually get him out of the office.
Oh,
no, we haven't talked about that.
That's Bill Rogers.
Mm.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, we talked this morning about getting him out front.
I'm afraid some gas are sort of canning him right away. Let's see about that. Maybe we can. But what have you got to report? John and I have just started with
the same. All I have is Dean's report. I did not talk to Mitchell because this may change what you want to be with Mitchell. He had a long conversation again today with Paul O'Brien. This is the guy he's been talking to yesterday. Says O'Brien is very distressed with Mitchell. The more he thinks about it, the more O'Brien comes down, and Mitchell could cut this whole thing off if he would just step forward and cut it off. The fact of the matter is, as far as Ray can determine, Mitchell did sign off on it. And if that's where it is,
as far as O'Brien is
concerned. Yeah. Is that great?
What's that?
I'm sorry. O'Brien, not Craig. As far as O'Brien can determine, Mitchell did sign off. Believes that to be the case also. Can't be doesn't be proven that apparently O'Brien can't even because Mitchell thinks it doesn't.
Well, that's my opinion.
And the more O'Brien thinks about it, the more it bothers him with all he knows to see all the people getting whacked around, losing, getting whacked around in order to keep the thing from focusing on John Mitchell when inevitably it's going to end up doing that anyway and all these other people are going to be so badly hurt they're not going to be able to get out from under it. That's one thing. Now, to go back on the Magruder situation, as O'Brien reports it, having spent several hours with Magruder yesterday afternoon, O'Brien and Parkinson, Jeff believes, or professes to believe, and O'Brien is inclined to think he really does believe, that the whole Lee plan, the whole super security operation, the super intelligence operation, was put together by the White House, by Parliament, Dean, and others. Really, Dean cooked the whole thing up, and Parliament's instructions. The whole idea of the need for a superintelligence operation. Now, there's some semblance of validity to the point that I did talk, not with Dean, but with Mitchell, about the need for intelligence activity,
and that Dean recommended Libby.
Yeah, but not for intelligence. Dean recommended Libby as the general.
Yeah, but you see, this is where Magruder might come. We'll go ahead.
Okay. That Mitchell bought the idea that was cooked up in the White House for a superintelligence operation, and that this was all set and accomplished back in December of 71, before Libby was hired by the committee. But then Liddy was hired by the committee to carry it out. And that's why Dean sent Liddy over to the committee. Then there was a hiatus. There were these meetings in Mitchell's office where Liddy unveiled his plan. And the first plan he unveiled, nobody bought. They all laughed at him because it was so bizarre. So he went back to the drawing board and came back with a second plan. And the second plan didn't get bought either. That was in the second meeting. And everything just kind of lingered around that was sort of hanging fire. Liddy was pushing to get something done. He wanted to get moving on his plans. And at that point, he went to Colson and said, nobody will approve any of this stuff. And, you know, we should be getting going on. And Colson then got into the act in pushing to get them, which would jive with the Colson phone call and the Magruder saying, all right, at least listen to these guys. Then the final step was, all this was rattling around in January. final step was that Gordon Strong called Kruger and said Alden told him to get this phone. The president wants it done, and there should be no more arguing about it.
This meaning
the Intelligence Activity Committee program. When Kruger told Mitchell this, Strong had ordered him to get it going on Alden's orders, on the president's orders. And Mitchell signed off on it. Said, okay, they say to do it, go ahead.
Except this is buggy.
The whole thing, including the bug.
Sure.
The bugging was implicit in the second plan. He doesn't seem to be sure whether it was implicit or
not.
He doesn't think that particular bug was explicit, but the process of bugging was implicit. And as I didn't realize, nor did he, but it was also in the sandwich one way back. The early one. That, incidentally, is a potential source of fascinating problems. And that involved Mike Acree, who's now the Customs Commissioner or something, Joe Woods, a few other people.
Nothing happened.
It wasn't done, I'm sure. But there, at some point, according to Magruder, after this was then signed off and put underway, Mitchell, called Liddy into his office and read in the Riot Act on the poor quality of stuff they were getting. That's basically the scenario, the summary of what Magruder told the lawyer. Dean's theory is that both Mitchell and Magruder realize that they now have their ass in a slung. They're trying to untangle it, not necessarily working together as yet, at least, but I think they are. That in the process of that, they're mixing apples and oranges for their own protection. And that they're remembering various things in connection with others.
Don't have another finance minister, do you?
No, sir. Oh, no, you got a prime minister now, you're moving up. Prime Minister Trudeau wants to call you prior to 2 p.m. when he will announce the decision to postpone any action regarding withdrawal from ICCS for 60 days.
All right. So I can place the call there.
No, sir. No, he wants to call you.
Anytime.
Thanks, sir. He says, for example, Magruder doesn't realize how little Dean told Liddy. He thinks that Dean sent Liddy in, Liddy to crank this up, whereas Dean screaming to Liddy was that U.S. General Counsel over there can also take as a side activity the political intelligence question, because we do need some input on demonstrators and stuff like that that they're not doing anything about. But he never got into any setting up an elaborate intelligence apparatus. Okay. Dean says that as a matter of fact, contrasting with Magruder's opinion, at the first meeting where a Liddy plan was presented, everybody at the meeting laughed at the plan on the basis that it was so bizarre that it was absurd and it was really funny. The second meeting, Dean came into the meeting late. He was not there during most of the presentation, but when he came in, could see that they were still on the same kind of a thing. And he says, in effect, I got Mitchell off the hook because I said, I took the initiative in saying, you know, it's an impossible proposal and we can't, but you need to be discussing this in the Attorney General's office and all that. Mitchell agreed. And then that's when Dean came over and told me that he had just had seen this wrap up on it, that they still have been impossible and that we, you know, they shouldn't be doing this and we shouldn't be involved in it. Way, dropped the whole thing. And as Dean said, I saw a problem there, and I thought they had turned it off, and in any event, I wanted to stay 10 miles away from it, and did. He said the problem from then on, starting in somewhere in early January probably, was that Liddy was never really given any guidance after that. Mitchell was in the midst of the IT&T and all that stuff, and didn't focus on it. And Magruder was running around with other things and didn't pay much attention. The lady was kind of bouncing around loose there. How do you square that with the allocation of money to Liddy?
Well, that typically
was the subject of focus by somebody who signed off on that. Magruder, possibly Mitchell, possibly Stans, certainly.
I suppose they could say the allocation of money is just an intelligence operations generally, not with regard to
there was an occasion for focus.
Somebody,
yeah, at some point, someone focused and agreed that there had to be some intelligence and that we would take some money and abilities to get them. And against the background of the two plans being presented and rejected, the natural question to arise is, well, what are you going to do with the money? You don't have an approved plan.
Yep.
So that doesn't play anything together.
Well, it doesn't hang together, but it could, in the sense that it can change.
Oh, what? Well, he thinks of it.
Money is.
No, he thinks Mitchell did sign off on it.
That's fine. But my guess is Mitchell could just say, look, I, he says he had this and that and the other, and I said, all right, go ahead. But there was no plan of this, blah, blah, blah.
Seems to be Bernie's opinion that he thinks Mitchell would kind of ask him to put it in a corner.
So,
O'Brien says that Magruder's objective or motive at the moment is a meeting with Mitchell and me. And that what he's told telling the lawyers may well be a shot across the bow to jar that meeting place. O'Brien doesn't really believe Jim, but he's not sure. O'Brien is shook a little bit himself as he hears all this. But he does see very definitely and holds also to the theory of mixing of apples and oranges. Convinced that Jeb is putting together things that don't necessarily fit together in order to come up with a conclusion. And again, very disappointed in Mitchell. I feel that Mitchell is the guy that's letting people down. O'Brien made the suggestion that if you wanted to force some of this to a head, one thing you might consider is that O'Brien and Parkinson, who are getting a little shaky now themselves, are retained by the committee. That is by Frank Bale, really, who is the chairman of the committee.
This still exists.
They
are involved in the damn thing, right? The O'Brien Parkinson.
Yes.
Well, they were in this all from the beginning.
Oh, no.
Oh, that's what happened.
No, but they're involved in post-discovery, post-June 17th. Going to Sirica seeking immunity for Liddy so they can be But his lawyer will argue against immunity. But he does not want it. The judgment is that he'll probably fail. Sirica will grant it. Given Sirica's clear disposition.
Then he doesn't talk, then he gets protected.
Yeah, but he is in, if he gets immunity, his intention as of now is to refuse to talk and to be in contempt. The contempt is civil contempt, and it only runs for the duration of the grand jury, which is a limited duration. And as long as he's in jail anyway, it doesn't make a hell of a lot of difference.
I would almost bet that's what Lee will do.
Well, that's what Dean will also do. Dean has asked through O'Brien to our Lewis, or whatever his name is, Lee's lawyer, for Lee to provide a private statement saying that Dean knew nothing in advance on the Watergate, which Lee knows to be the case. So, to his knowledge, Dean knew nothing about it. And Dean would like to have that statement in his pocket and has asked Lee's lawyer to ask Lee for such a statement, which he feels that he would want to give him. Should raise the question whether Dean actually had no knowledge of what was going on in the intelligence area between the time of the meetings in Mitchell's office when he said don't do anything and the time the Watergate discovery. And I put that direct question to Dean and he said absolutely nothing.
The reason I would totally agree with that I would believe Dean there, all I would believe is what you were saying. So let me be lying to us about that. But I would believe for another reason that he thought it was a stupid goddamn idea.
It's just in the scintilla of him that Dean knew about.
You know,
Dean was pretty good all through that period of time in sharing things. And he was tracking with a number of the sons.
But you know the thing that the reason I told Bob. This, incidentally, also covers Colson. I don't know whether, I know that most everybody except Bob, perhaps, thinks Colson is all about. But I was talking to Colson, and that was exclusively about, and maybe that was the part, exclusively about issues, you know, how are we going to do this and that and the other thing, you know, everything
17th of June.
I was in Florida.
With me?
Yeah.
What?
Were you there?
No, I was here.
Who was there?
You
called
me. I called him.
I called Ziggler.
I called Tolson. Alden and Ziggler.
Sure.
And alerted them to this.
Yes.
And I read the paper and I said, what?
Thank
God.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
I just couldn't believe it.
Yeah.
So you know what I mean is that, I believe in playing politics hard, but I'm also smart.
What I can't understand is how a preacher would ever approve of me, signs it off.
That's the thing I can't understand there.
Well, Ruger, I can understand doing things. He's not a very bright fellow.
I mean, he's bright, but not, doesn't think through to the end.
Jesus Christ, but you know the consequences of such.
Yeah, but I'll tell you what could have happened.
Ruger, you see there, Mitchell was attorney general.
He was using
legal.
And sometimes,
his very great capacity to wiretap and do other kinds of things over there. And you get into a mindset where you get used to that.
Could be.
Could be. And it doesn't, you don't regard it with the same kind of view as most.
Yeah, could be.
Could be. Well, anyway, and he says, I did see Liddy probably five or six times during that period of January to June. And it was always on campaign legal matters.
Well, I know Dean was that, but we always said Dean was a memory of taking all these studies of it.
Yeah.
The law was the top of the
yeah.
Yeah. I believe that.
He said at one of those meetings at one time, when we started, I said to Willie, talk about how's it going. He said he started to say, I'm not getting approval on the intelligence operating message. And Dean said, Gordon, I told you that's something I know nothing about. I don't want to know anything about it. That's right. January to June of 72,
right?
Now, there's another factor. Dolius is following up that point. And he says, as a matter of fact, the reason I called Liddy on June 19th, I said, no, wait a minute, you called Liddy on June 19th? He said, yes. And the reason I did it is because Bundy told me that Liddy had come to see him on the 18th at Burning Tree. That was the day after the discovery. And the purpose of that was to tell Clintis he had to get his men out of jail. Clintis said, I'm just a goddamn medical because I'm talking to me about this stuff. At that time, Liddy told Clintis that Mitchell had ordered it. Now, you don't know if that's true. All you know is that Liddy was using that as his means for trying to get to the then the
trial. Well, actually, could they tell him the truth? Liddy could be. But Liddy could just assume he had constructive approval. Mitchell would say, well, I ordered intelligence, but I never threw this goddamn plan. So you got to figure the lines and defenses of everybody's going to take here. That's Mitchell's, right? What's all of his line of defense? All of his line of defense. I never approved this story. I just, that's. What's our whatever, got anything about it? The earlier thing, yes, we did have an operation. Release and so forth. What would you say if you said, did you ever do any wiretapping on your ship? Good question on that. Were you aware of any wiretapping?
Yes.
And you would say yes, and why'd you do it? You'd say it was ordered on a national security
committee. We have a serious, a very serious national security case.
Yeah.
Yes.
Hello? Prime Minister?